Let me invite you, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter number 15 this morning. And we will be there in a few moments. And as you're turning and finding your place in Jeremiah chapter 15, I believe and feel that we must first see some background regarding our day as compared to the day that Jeremiah, who of course is known as the weeping prophet, never saw one convert in his day. Never saw one person come to know Christ or come to know the Lord in a personal way. But before we get to Jeremiah 15, there's several verses that I would like us to see this morning. And you don't have to necessarily turn to each one of these. You can follow along on the screen as we look at these verses to compare our day to the day that Jeremiah found himself living in. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 28 through 30, the Bible tells us, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner." 2 Timothy 2:3, the Bible tells us, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Romans chapter number 1, verses 28 through 32, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they that, for they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth this morning is we live in quite a day, don't we? In no particular order in our society today, we find attacks on the family. We find attacks on God's design for marriage that perverts God's design for marriage. Gender confusion up to and including animals. Abortion. Churches themselves affirming and approving what God Himself in His Word calls sin. Record costs of living, inflation, open borders, attacks on our military and our first responders, crime running rampant, wars and rumors of wars, sickness and famine. Truly, as the Bible said, just in one of our verses, wrong is called right, and right is called wrong. And we see everything that's happening in our world. We see everything that's happening in our society, and the question becomes, and we ask ourselves, well, what is the Christian to do? What is God's people to do? Well, if you listen to the world says we ought to just sit back and do nothing. That we ought to say nothing, do nothing, and we ought to be all loving, all accepting, all affirming, all inclusive, and yes, we should be all loving because the Bible tells us that we ought to be loving. But when it comes to sin and when it comes to what is right and when it comes to those things which is wrong, we have the answer for us in the Bible, and that's found in Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We have a command in the Word of God, in the Bible, that as Christians and as God's people, and as a church, we ought to stand for that which is right. We ought to stand against that which is wrong. But one of the things you'll find out very quickly is that if you are trying to stand for what is right and try to stand against that which is wrong, oftentimes, aside from fellow Christians and fellow believers in Christ, and even amongst some fellow Christians and fellow believers in Christ, you will find that that stand is often a lonely place to be. Which brings us to Jeremiah and our text here this morning. You're there at Jeremiah chapter 15. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 10, down through verse number 21. Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning at verse number 10, down through verse number 21. The Bible says, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife, and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? The substance in thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them, and I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord, and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. And so here in Jeremiah chapter 15, we find the third of Jeremiah's recorded laments. We have recorded in Jeremiah 15 in the verses prior to verse number 10 and verses 8 and 9 that the mothers of the dead soldiers would weep over their dead sons. And if the mothers of the dead soldiers had reason to weep, then we find here that Jeremiah's mother had even more reason to weep, because here the people are treating Jeremiah, the prophet of God, the man of God who has a message from God for them. Well, they're treating him as if he were the enemy. The soldiers died as heroes, but Jeremiah lived as if he were a traitor to his own people. If you go into the New Testament, you find much out about tax collectors, and not much has changed about tax collectors. We don't seem to care for them too much in our day and age today. Well, in the Bible, they weren't cared for too much. And well, Jeremiah, he wasn't a creditor. He wasn't a tax collector pursuing those who owed taxes or those who owed debts. But nevertheless, everybody, just for having a message from God, everybody hated Jeremiah. God, though, promised to deliver him. Go back up there, chapter 15, and notice there, if you would, verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, the Bible says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Verse number 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And so we see here God promised to deliver him. That's the first promise I want us to get a hold of this morning, is this. Is that when it seems like you are going through something, when it seems like everybody is against you, and it seems like everybody hates you for whatever the reason may be, just know you have a promise of God that he is going to deliver you from such persecution. And God would keep his promise, but we find here God didn't promise to shield him from persecution. And by the way, this morning, that's very important for us to remember. God did not promise to shield us from persecution. We see here in this verse, chapter 12 and verse 5, Jeremiah was now running with the horses, and it wasn't a very easy task to run with the horses. Here in chapter 15, we find that Jeremiah is resisting King Nebuchadnezzar. And in doing so, Judah was fighting a losing battle. Do you ever feel that way? That No matter what it is you do, you just seem that you're fighting a losing battle. You just feel like you're just not gaining any traction in the situation. Well, that's what Jeremiah found himself in. He was fighting this battle. He was resisting an evil king. And it was a losing battle. Because the Bible tells us here, nothing could break the northern iron of Babylon. Judah would lose its treasures and become slaves of the Babylonians. Now, to the people and for Jeremiah, this wasn't a very popular message to proclaim. And Jeremiah knew that it would arouse the opposition of both the leaders and the people. And because of this, he asked God for the help that he needed to keep going. And that's another truth this morning that we see. Sometimes in order for us to keep going, we need to ask God for that help to keep us going. And here's the wonderful truth about that, is that when you ask God for that help, he will give you that help to keep going. He will give you that help to keep on keeping on. You notice his request here in Jeremiah, his requests were, remember me, care for me, avenge me of mine enemies. Jeremiah chapter 15, especially verses 15 through 18, reveals the turmoil that was in the prophet's heart, that was in the prophet's mind. One minute he was affirming the Lord's long-suffering and his own faithfulness to the word, and then the next minute he was crying out with pain because of the suffering of the people and the difficulty of the work. You ever feel that way? One minute you're praising God, and one minute you're enjoying the journey, and then one minute you just want the day to be over. You're just done with people. That's where Jeremiah found himself. One minute he was happy, one minute he was content, and then one minute he was like, you know what, I'm done. You know what, we all find ourselves at that point one time or another. We notice here he even suggested that God was a liar. And he compares him to waters that fail. But praise the Lord, this morning we know that God's not a liar. We know that God, when he says something, God never fails. There's a song in our hymn book, Jesus never fails. Earthly friends may prove untrue, but Jesus never fails. Job chapter 6 verses 15 through 20, the Bible says, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the streams of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither, and they were ashamed. You know, this morning we're talking much about comparisons. Comparing our day to Jeremiah's day. Well, here's another comparison. Jeremiah was human. Guess what we are? We're human. Jeremiah had his failings. Guess what we have? We have our failings. But Jeremiah was able to admit them to God. Instead of, you know, and sometimes we're guilty of this, and instead of piously covering up his true feelings, he poured out his heart to God. And God heard him. And God answered him. God's answer may have shocked Jeremiah because the Lord told him he needed to repent. Look there, if you would, chapter 15 and verse number 19. The Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, that word return means repent, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return, again repent unto thee, but repent not thou unto them. And so here, because of his attitude toward God and his calling, Jeremiah was about to give up his entire ministry. He was about to forfeit his entire ministry. And in some ways, he was mirroring the words and attitudes of the people of Judah when they questioned God. But you know, I've often said that in the Lord's goodness, he doesn't just give rebuke without reassurance. He just doesn't give condemnation without a solution. And he is usually very good at balancing that rebuke with reassurance. And he once again promised Jeremiah to make Jeremiah a fortified wall and give him victory over all his enemies. Notice there verse number 20, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 20. The Bible says, "And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." This morning in Sunday school, we were looking at the call of Abram. God comes to Abram and he says, "Abram, I want you to leave everything you have, your family, your kindred, your father's house. I want you to leave where you're from, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you." And that's all God gave Abram. That's all the information he gave him. And Abram, two short verses later, after verses 2 and 3, in verse 4, the very first three words, "And Abram departed." And the next part of the verse, "As the Lord commanded." Like Abram, Jeremiah had to learn to walk by faith, which meant obeying God's word no matter how he felt, what he saw, or what others might do to him. And folks, this morning, you and I too, as God's people, we need to learn to obey God's word, no matter how we feel, what we see, or what others might do to us. Because listen, if we're honest and we realize we're human, there are some days we wake up and we don't necessarily feel saved, that we don't feel very Christian, that we don't feel maybe like dealing with people. But that's where faith comes in. And we need to learn to walk by faith, because we don't walk by sight. The Bible tells us this. Because if we were to live the Christian life by what we see, we would never live the Christian life. But that's what faith is. Faith helps us to get past those obstacles. Faith helps us to get past those hurdles. And you know, God never promised Jeremiah an easy job. And guess what? This morning, God never promised us an easy road. God never promised us sunshine and roses and rainbows and unicorns and everything else. Yes, you have trials. I have trials. The people outside of this church, they have trials. We haven't been promised an easy road. But what we have been promised is that he promised him all that he needed to do his work faithfully. And so whatever it is this morning God has called you to do, God will give you the strength to do that. You know, you wonder this morning because Jeremiah, he was the prophet of God. He was the man of God. He was the one chosen to do what God called him to do. And here he is. He's discouraged. He's in danger. We wonder, is it unusual for chosen servants of God to become discouraged and endanger their own ministries? The answer to that's no. Because every servant of God, no matter who they are, they're human. And they're subject to the weaknesses of human nature. You think about Moses this morning. He became discouraged and he wanted to die. Joshua, he was ready to quit and leave the promised land. Elijah abandoned his place of duty and hoped to die. Jonah became so angry, he refused to help the people he came to save. All of these men, choice servants of God, chosen of God to do a work for him, and they still struggled with their human frailties. The truth this morning is God doesn't want us to ignore our feelings because that would make us less than human. But he does want us to trust him. And when we trust him, he will change our feelings and help us to start by walking by faith. You know, even pastors feel the same way because, you know, we're put in a position of both trying to be a friend to everyone, welcoming everyone, and making sure not to make people feel as though, you know, we're over them or better than them, and because we're not. And at the same time, we've been put in a position by God that part of our job is to keep the church pure and to keep people in the church walking with God and keeping sin accounts short so as not to ruin their personal testimony and the testimony of the church. And, you know, it's easy being the friend. You know, I could be the friend all day long, but it's not so easy being the pastor to, when the time comes, to have to set things in order, to have to be the one, because then even though you're just doing your job, well, then you're looked at as the bad guy. You find yourself as Jeremiah, and, you know, then you just want to go in a, you know, a couple Sundays ago, you know, I wanted to crawl in a hole and die. You know, and part of, you know, part of that. And but there in Oklahoma every now and again, you know, I don't know what it was about Brother Bob, but Brother Bob, he could kind of sense when I was having a down Sunday and when I was a little bit discouraged. And, I'd be coming out of the office to get ready for Sunday morning service, and he'd come and he just put his arm around me and, you know, give me a big bear hug. And if you met Bob, you know, he's that big burly type, and, you know, and pat me on the back and say, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, let's go have church. And, you know, we'd go have church and it'd be a great day. And, he was my deacon there at the church in Oklahoma. And, you know, every pastor needs somebody like that. And Brother Bob was that for me. And but, you know, I'm saying it to say this. Everybody gets discouraged because we're human. And don't feel as though if you're discouraged this morning that somehow you're letting God down. Because you're not letting God down. It just means that you're human. You know, you look back this morning on the loneliest of times in your life, and you might find that those times were lonely, not necessarily because of a lack of people. You know, you could be in a crowd just like this morning and still feel alone. And may I encourage you this morning, if you're here this morning, you're in this crowd and you feel alone, let me encourage you, you're not alone. You have a church family here that cares for you. You have a God in heaven that cares for you. You have a Savior that came to this world to give his life, was buried 3 days later, rose again to save you from your sins, to take you to heaven someday. Listen, the greatest lie of the devil is to tell you that nobody cares. David in the Old Testament, he said, "Behold, I looked on my right hand and no man cared for my soul." Listen this morning, don't give in to that lie that nobody cares. There are people that care. but because of many people who would not stand with you. In other words, you were standing alone. And that's how Jeremiah felt here in chapter 15. He said again here in verse 10, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention." All of the hardships came, not because of something wrong that he had done, but precisely because of what he had done that was right. He had given God's word to God's people, even though it was a very difficult message. In verse 15, we find Jeremiah felt lonely when he said, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me." You know, perhaps he thought that God had forgotten him and had not been with him. Maybe he felt like God was not pulling for him, even though he was speaking for God. You see, what Jeremiah experienced was directly related to God's word and God's will for him in his life. Jeremiah would say, "Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." Can you relate to that feeling this morning? You ever find yourself in Jeremiah's sandals, so to speak? You see, when you stand alone, you may find yourself like Jeremiah, sitting alone. You know, no one needs to seek being alone. What you need to seek is the company of God. This morning, it is important to remember that that when you stand with truth and with God, you never stand alone. You and God always make a majority. Listen, don't seek a majority, seek God. And when you have God, you need nothing else. You say, "Well, then how do we get rid of that loneliness?" Well, it's found there in verse number 19. Notice there if you would. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 19. The Bible says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou shalt take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." The way to get rid of loneliness this morning is very simply. In a world that's going all the wrong way, is for you not to go the wrong way, but to have people come along with you. Simply put this morning, win them to the truth. Win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that when you stand with truth and with God, you don't stand alone, though it may stand lonely and seem lonely. And so, yes, though our world today seems like it goes against everything God says, there are still those standing for right. And this morning, may you be encouraged to be like Jeremiah. No matter what you see, no matter how people treat you, if God says it's right, you're going to stand for right. And if God says it's wrong, you're going to stand against wrong. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.